So today we are looking at this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church from his prison cell. And what comes across, I think, in this letter is the warm relationship and the honest relationship that he had with the church in Philippi. And his desire for the people there to have the same confidence in the gospel that Paul himself had. So I just thought I'd give you a little bit of background. So Philippi was a city that was built by Philip of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great, in around 358 BC. And it was a Roman colony, so it was run according to all the Roman rules. And Paul arrived there on his second missionary journey in around 49 AD. And we've been learning, as we've read through Acts over the last few months, about some of the people that he met there, like Lydia. And this letter also mentions other people who, from their names, seem to be converts, Roman converts or Greeks, like Clement, who is a Roman name, and Epaphroditus, which is a Greek name. And Philippi was the first place where the gospel took root in a Gentile and a Roman setting. The church there seemed to have really supported Paul in every way, and particularly financially. We read in Philippians 4:15, it says, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." And in fact, Paul goes on to use them as an example to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. He says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." So we see that Philippi is a church that's largely composed of lower working class people and slaves, but they were totally committed spiritually, strong and wanting to work with Paul in advancing the gospel. We don't know exactly when Paul wrote this letter, but it seems possible it was about 10 years later when he was in prison in Rome. He wrote with several reasons, really. One of them was to send Epaphroditus back to them because he'd been very ill and he wanted to send him back carrying this letter, and to thank them for the way they supported him. But the thing that comes across in the whole of this letter is that the Philippians should be examples of Christian living to those around them. And he encourages them to follow the example of Jesus and other people like Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul himself. And we also see that he gives a negative example of what not to be like, as he gives a little reprimand to two of the female leaders of the church in Philippi, Euodia and Syntyche. I had to look up how to say that one. I think it's a bit tricky. But the key verse is verse 27. "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." And this is such an important message for us today. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, as clearly the last few months have shown us. We're not in control. We can pray and we can ask God to intercede for us. We know he hears our prayers, but we have to entrust the future to him, both for us and for the whole world. In the spring, we spent several weeks looking at what it means to be living God's love, which is what we at St. James are seeking to do in prayer, in worship, and in our community. And as we do that, we too are seeking to follow that example of Jesus, and also the example of other famous and not so famous Christians who've gone before us. So how do we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, whatever happens? The key word that comes across in this passage is confidence. Paul is encouraging the Christians that he was writing to be heartened by his successful witness, despite his situation, despite being in prison. Something that you would have expected to have a negative effect, God has used for good. And I think we see that very often, don't we? The way that God can turn things around, things that are really bad, he can bring something really good out of them. And the guards had clearly got a favourable impression of Paul, and this has encouraged the other Christians to witness more boldly. We don't know how it happened, and maybe it was because they thought, if Paul can do so much while he's in chains, how much more should we dare to do in freedom? But these verses, particularly verses 19 to 26, are full of confidence and joy. And Paul lists his reason for having confidence. Firstly, his certainty that his friends are praying for him and that God answers their prayers. Secondly, that the Holy Spirit supplies our needs, supplies his needs, and gives him boldness to speak out. And thirdly, he has an inner serenity. He knows that he is doing Christ's will, whatever the outcome, life or death. And there's that very challenging verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't know how many of us could say that with the same confidence that Paul does. I don't think I necessarily could. But I have met some amazing spirit-filled Christians in my life, and I've had the privilege of walking with Christians to the end of their lives and seen them sad about leaving family, but completely confident about knowing that they are going to then shortly be with Jesus. And throughout history, there have also been some incredible Christians who have set an example to us in the way they've lived their lives and even died for their faith. I was reading a little bit about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he was a German theologian who resisted the Nazis. So he was a Lutheran pastor in Germany, and he was well known for his resistance of the Nazi dictatorship and his vocal opposition to their genocidal persecution of the Jews. And he was arrested in April 1943 and imprisoned, and then later transferred to a concentration camp. But then right towards the end of the war, he was accused of being associated with the 20th of July plot, and he was actually hanged on the 9th of April 1945, just 21 days before Hitler committed suicide. And a decade later, a camp doctor who witnessed Bonhoeffer's hanging described the scene. The prisoners were taken from their cells and the verdicts of the court-martial read out to them. Through the half-open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a prayer, and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued in a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I have worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. We're fortunate that it's very unlikely that any of us will have to die for our faith, but we will all face difficulties, sad times and circumstances that challenge our faith. So the question for us is, how can we be, just as Paul's exhorting the Philippian church, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, whatever happens? In our gospel reading today, we saw the disciples afraid in the boat, and Jesus called out to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And I think this is a good message for us today. When we feel doubtful or anxious, we need to hold on to Jesus and follow his example, as Paul did and countless others have done since. We also need to have that same confidence that Paul did in the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit, who is always with us, supplying our needs and giving us boldness to speak out. And as we grow more and more in confidence, then perhaps we too will have that same inner serenity that Paul did, that knowledge deep within ourselves that we are in God's will. Jesus, who loves us, is walking with us, guiding and directing us, through everything. So let's pray now. Father, I pray that you will give us that same confidence that you gave Paul. I just want us now to have a moment of quiet to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Just invite you to close your eyes if you find that helpful. Father God, we invite you to be here by your Holy Spirit now. As we seek to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and in this quietness, is there anything that you would like to challenge us about today? And Lord, is there anything that you would like to encourage us in today? Father God, we thank you that you walk with us, that you speak to us today through your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep on listening to you through this coming week, to think about the things that you've just spoken to us about, to take steps to address the areas that you've challenged us in, but also to take heart in the things that you've encouraged us in. Amen.
Amen.